another week in the books and another debacle on prime time.
Sheldon, Sheldon, Sheldon. How stupid can you be?
MYJ. Couch Scouts.
I'm your host, Peter Antonelli.
I'll tell you right now, the Antonelli household is rocking.
And my co-host, Justin Schwendeman.
No question, we're top five.
Top five dead or alive.
MYJ.
Couch Scouts.
Stupid is probably the perfect word for that video getting out into the public consumption. I don't see how that happens. I know you're making something personal. That was the explanation. Neither side really seems to think it was all that big of a deal, but I don't think there's any doubt in what was said at the end of that video.
And he didn't mean for it to come out. What are you talking about, buddy? You sent it to the world, man. You sent it to the world.
Welcome, everybody, to the MYJ Couch Scouts podcast. This is your host, Peter Antonelli, here with my co-host, Justin Schwendeman.
What's going on, Jeff fans?
Now, he wasn't supposed to send it to the world is part of the problem. Okay. I know you're preaching on that, but my point is more the context of the video. You're not telling me that it was don't F with this guy. I'm not that stupid. You know what I mean? It's everybody heard it. Everybody knows what was said. What was your initial take on it when you first saw it?
He doesn't give a crap about this anymore. He doesn't want to be here anymore, or he's trying to force his way out. But it seems like he doesn't know it or not, but he's going to force himself into getting a bad contract.
I was just going to ask, New York Jets, or he's kind of made a decent amount of money thus far in his career. If this is the end, this is the end. I think he loves the game too much personally, by the way he plays, for that to be the case.
Definitely. I think he loves the game too, but you know what? It's possible that he's worked his way onto this team for a much cheaper price. Is that possible?
No.
That's not possible. Impossible.
I'd love it.
Obviously.
I mean, I think we can tell now, 2 years into this, let's call it experiment, that Leo, Moe, and Sheldon, along with the nose tackle, just doesn't fit. But no, I think that ship has sailed. I think that's part of why his mindset is where it is right now. And you read little things like he's been sabotaging this since he really heard how serious his name was brought up to Dallas. And the Jets steadfast on a first-round pick, and deal never really moved anywhere substantial. But as soon as that deadline news came out, from what you hear, this has been Sheldon.
He's sabotaged himself at this point.
That's the
contract
problem.
That he gets, he's done that to himself.
That's the problem. Now you're looking at him possibly having to perform. And if you really want to use that word, it's been a long time since Sheldon has performed the way we talk about him. Now, he does a lot of dirty work, and he's taken a lot of sacrifice for the team over the past 2 years. I won't take that away from him at all. But the Sheldon Richardson that was making Pro Bowls, winning Defensive Rookie of the Year, that 8.5 sacks that we were seeing, we've misused him. I've preached that. But he hasn't been that ball player in a little bit now.
No,
talking
totally.
About a sack and a half on the field a lot this year.
Totally hasn't been that player. And but I blame a lot of his production on us. I blame our defensive line production on us. I think that we've misused the whole defensive line completely. And they haven't shown us what they have. And I'm pretty sure they can show us much better as time goes on with a different scheme maybe next year, but we'll never get to see that.
I was only bringing that up because where I was going with it is I think he's going to have to wait another year or two for his big deal now. I can see a team trading for him. I think our value has somewhat plummeted, and it's weird to say somewhat plummeted, but for what we expect, I don't think we're getting anything near that. And I think a team's going to trade for him and tell him, you're going to have to perform. And then at the end of that year, if he wants the contract that he's talked about wanting for the last 2 years, I can see a team tagging him and telling him again, I need to see it off the field, I need to see it on the field, and I'll give you that money. So Sheldon might have put himself in a position where he's got to nut up for another 2 years to get that type of Mo Wilkerson deal.
Do you think a team gives him like a 1 year contract to see what he can do? And
I actually can see, I don't want to call it a phony year, but I can see something tacked on, something along the lines of a Band-Aid type extension, fake term there for what we're talking. But if a trade were to be consummated, I can see that. But in reality, I think a team's going to protect themselves the same way the Jets have somewhat protected themselves by maybe not going the route that they wanted to go after 2014.
And the funny thing is that at the end of the season, he puts this video out, and maybe purposely or not, but this just ruins what teams have thought about you possibly coming into the possible next year.
No, it doesn't ruin anything. It just asks more questions. That's
what I mean by ruin. It asks more questions. Do we trust this guy? He's talking crap on videos. He's saying,
yeah, but that's
F
all he's
this
doing.
Game.
He's talking.
F this game, man. That's not what you want to hear from a possible great player that's on your team, one of the possible most talented players on your team.
See, I think teams just want to hear more about the doing a $110, $120, flying through streetlights and having the gun under the... I think teams want to hear more about that. I think teams will chalk up the attitude to situation of the season right now and kind of a little bit of a benefit of the doubt there of who was playing hard.
Well, I'm going to take the other side of this. We know as Jet fans as the attitude doesn't turn out well for us. Antonio Holmes, players like that, you know, players that talk crap.
Holmes was a problem the minute he was chugging
I'm
that
just
champagne.
Saying, those,
I said
but
that
the,
when it happened.
But those are the problems that they talk smack in the locker room or they have something to say. It's not really legal action. It is something to say that ruins what happens. And Brandon Marshall, early in his career, lots of legal issues but also had things to say. Ruined his relationships in the locker room.
Now you want to talk about things said, just to kind of move on a little bit here and take a next step. What I heard from Darren Lee in the beginning of the week was music to my ears. Over my dead body, this defense will be as bad as it is this year.
It's like the same thing he told me in training camp, right?
Far from a finished product.
Exactly. Yeah. Far from a finished
for
product.
For me, the getting comfortable of being able to put your name behind a statement like that right now is encouraging. I think that injury really set him back. I think he's the type of linebacker that can truly flourish with the talent we have up front playing up to their name and their talent level. And the scheme that we can really put him in with a little bit of growth, a couple more pounds put on the body. But I love this type of attitude and that type of statement because we need a couple more of them right now.
I think that he's shown that he can be a leader, a possible leader. He's a leader in the making.
You got to hope him, Leo, maybe a Quincy.
And Leo seems like a more, you know, set by example. He'll play like a quiet guy that doesn't really speak much during the week. But Darren Lee is that, you know, him and Ron Tez are those loud leaders that you like to hear on those video clips that you see for the Jets riling them up before a game and stuff like that.
And we talked about Ron Tez with the halftime speech a couple weeks ago. Yeah. He supposedly had a big turnaround, helped the team come out of the tunnel basically in San Fran. So.
And I really think the way that he's done that this year has probably earned his a little bit more stability on this team for next year.
Now, we're talking about characteristics of leadership and things along those lines. There's going to be a big-time turnover this year. Some would argue it should have happened last year, year before, whatever. But we've touched on it multiple times right here on the podcast. You're looking at names walking out of the door after this season, in my opinion, or our opinion, or most opinions, that are big. Nick Mangold. Sheldon Richardson, we just touched on. I feel that ship sailed. Brandon Marshall, I know you have a little bit of another take on that, but Eric Decker is also on this list for me.
Crazy.
So when you look at the cap money that can be saved, they're both on the list. Pick one. I'll pick Decker. You pick Marshall. But the bottom line is one of our borderline Pro Bowl wide receivers will be walking out the door, in our opinion. Darrell Revis, that conversation's been had. I think we're at a point now where we kind of see the writing on the wall there. David Harris. Get out of that deal for $6.5 million. Why not? Getting out for free. Eric Decker, I just talked about. Gilchrist, the injury now muddies that just a bit, but this was something we talked about midseason that we'd be moving on from. Breno's pretty obvious, in my opinion. Being the team we potentially are going to be next year, do you need a $3 million kicker on a 4-12 team?
Hell no.
No. So now, we've softened on the stance that much from the preseason.
It's like week 17, buddy.
I know, but I mean, I'm just, yeah, the Nick Folk that was
Well, Russ Martin, you're talking about Russ
eye.
Martin?
I know, but when he was.
Was you
was
trying Russ to Martin at the beginning of the season?
Listen, for what we were expecting, I came off my horse
exactly.
And I said I was wrong.
Well, now
but
I
for
have
where
to.
We're at now, let's see if Russ Martin got his emotions under
let's
control.
Let's call him back up.
Let's bring him back
let's
in the
call
camp.
Call him back up.
And last on the list, Aaron Henderson. Well, we all know about the non-football injury list here that he's on. There has been no clarification on that, no real explanation given. We've sent out our sentiments on that. I hope there wasn't any type of behind-the-scenes lapse on his end because he had really seemed like he turned his life around, but 275, I don't see him coming back next year this year.
If these 10 players are on McCagnon's board right now for possible cutting, for possible...
Like they are right here for us,
exactly,
okay?
Exactly. I think there are three players on there that have to, that it's decisions down to them. I think you got Nick Mangold, Darrell Revis, and David Harris that if they want to take contract, if they want to take contract restructures, are possibility. I think that Darrell Revis, you know, we're getting a $15 million cap, salary cap figure. I think that he's a possible player that, that McCagnon would say, hey, listen, I know this is probably your last stop. You can either retire or we can change a contract because he's also, you know, that million-dollar man. He loves that.
I think Revis is in a position now, though, where he would acquiesce to talking about that. I want your personal opinion on Nick Mangold, though.
Nick Mangold, I think that if he wants to continue to play, I think that we...
No, I said your personal opinion. Can he still play?
I think he can still play.
Body's not at that point where it's just breaking down.
As a football, in my head, him as a football player, no, I don't think he's ready to retire. But I think that, you know, his body might say at the end of the season, like, hey.
I'll agree with that. My whole point behind.
I think his mentality is no, he doesn't want to retire. So I think he wants to continue to come back. I hope he comes back. You know, I really hope because
and
you
we
know,
touched
talk
on
about
it a bit
West
last week, but David Harris, you feel there is a spot on this team for David Harris?
I do. You want to say we would do a complete rebuild and you get rid of all the veterans, but
not competitive complete.
Exactly, and I don't think David Harris is part of a competitive rebuild. I think he's part of a complete rebuild, but you need some kind of veteran leadership back there.
I can't get on board with that. I don't even really see where your stance is with that, where him being part of a complete rebuild.
I think you need some kind of veteran on this team, especially on the defense, where we're not going to really, you know, we're going to have Mo there. But I think David Harris is a true jet. Is he still
calling plays? Because he's not going to be on the field enough.
My thing is I don't want to do what we did with X Jets. You know, I want to keep a player for life who wants to continue to play.
You say you don't want to do what we did with X Jets, but how much have we won with the turnover we've had and some of the X Jets you're talking about? Has that worked out for us?
But I don't want
to. Maybe we need to do this a different way.
I completely agree that we need to change things up, but I think David Harris is a player that you keep on
a year too soon before it's a year too late. And truthfully, it might be a year
yourself.
Too late
yeah,
on these
I get
guys
it.
Already.
I get
so
it.
How do you hold
I think
on
you
have, for another
I think
one?
You got to evaluate him in this offseason.
Listen, we
if
all
he's
love
willing,
him.
No, if he's willing to play. If he's willing to come back and play, it's up to him. We don't know if he's going to retire after this year. But if he's willing to come back, I think you evaluate his offseason.
Well, listen, you're staring at roughly, I mean, real number, you're pushing 50. You want to be more realistic. You're staring at $35, $40 million in cap room right here.
For 10
in
players.
In veteran players.
Yes.
That on a 4-12, 5-11 football team. You move on from.
I think there's no brainers here. There's Henderson, Folk,
okay,
Giacomini.
Now, what we were just
Gilchrist,
talking about with
are,
Harris,
those are
you
no
let
brainers.
Off with Henderson there.
Yeah.
And I want to just give a little peek. Reuben Foster, Alabama inside linebacker. We're sitting at 5. You got the Cleons to take him?
No.
I do. No. I do. And I'm looking at a defense of Darren Lee and Reuben Foster that I can do multiple looks with and always have at least 2 true linebackers on the field.
Do you think that's the position that we look for at the beginning of this season?
Yes,
at the beginning of the draft, like we did last year?
You take a peek into 2017, you're looking at Darren Lee, you're looking at newly acquired Randall Johnson, and what else are you looking at if you move on from a David Harris and you move on from an Aaron Henderson? Julian Stanford coming back for off the IR, and he's had his hiccups this year after starting out somewhat hot. He's had his hiccups.
So I mean by drafting so high.
This is the spot where what you were talking about with David Harris and what we were hoped we were getting out of Henderson to transition a rookie in Lee, I could see us actually dipping into the free agent market for a veteran leader type to
That's
move
what
forward
I expect. That's what I expect. If David Harris is not coming back, I expect to get a veteran leadership from the free agency market. I don't think we draft another inside linebacker high like we did last year.
It's a little different drafting a Reuben Foster. You're potentially drafting the stalwart to your defense. You're not just taking an inside line. If you could take Luke Kuechly right now at number 5, would you? That's the conversation we're having with Reuben Foster, and you're going to realize that very soon. Just a little peek off-season-wise and where we'll be talking.
I can't wait to see it.
Now, I just talked about Randall Johnson, who was a 7th-round pick of the Bills. We picked him up off the L.A. Rams practice squad. He took the place of Arthur Brown, brought him in a couple weeks ago. Again, we said we were hoping third time was a charm. Apparently, it wasn't. Brian Winters went to the IR, hurt his shoulder, little quiet. Nobody really seemed to notice it.
Yeah,
I was at the stadium, so you don't really see that. And then you said...
I said I had no idea. I had no idea. I was clueless.
Supposedly sat out the last 14 plays of the game, shoulder injury, IR.
Just to mention, one of our most important offseason possible...
Free agents, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
Mike Catapano, another one on that list, also went to the IR. He's been having his knee whole year in, out.
What do you think about... Yeah, what do you think about his year?
I move on from him. Yeah. I move on from it. Yeah, it was a great story. I love it. The whole Long Island and you know, linebacker and Jets bring him in and getting his shot here and then comes back from the injury last year when he looked good. But I saw enough this year to where, to me, the Trevor Johnsons, the Trevor Rileys, there's a guy I'm seeing right now that I just can't pull his name, but he's another one of those linebackers where it's like, yeah, it's cool when he's out there. I hope he performs, but I don't know if he's exactly NFL-level talent, what we're looking for right now.
More of a utility guy.
And with the type of revamp we've been doing at linebacker and we're going to still continue to need to do, I'm ready to move on from that and get a little bit more of an athletic body in there.
I totally agree.
Craig Watts came up.
Possibly
our starting right guard this week.
I don't know
what the plan is between Dozier or him or
big
maybe
body.
Dawkins kicking in, Kwale coming back. Kwale's played guard for us. Maybe Kwale's finally healthy off the hamstring. He kicks in because where we're going to be going very soon here, Brandon Schell had quite the performance on Saturday
night.
Very
excited.
Especially for the talent he was playing against. So you're not sitting him down. You want to see what next year's fourth-round pick can do for you this year. Hawkins came up along with Watts, so bringing up two offensive linemen there. And we brought back... Jason Vandelin and Kyle Friend came back to the practice squad along with Kenny, and I'm going to pronounce it Inunik, defensive end, third year in the league.
Good job.
So it's the building of 2017 starting, unfortunately, in 2016. We're bringing the band back together. We're starting to bring in some of them training camp guys that had hot names that didn't make this year's team. And a lot of shaking and baking.
Completely. The practice squad is completely different, huh?
Almost. Literally, almost. I actually kind of feel bad for a Bryson Keaton.
We were just talking about
you
that.
Look at Claude Pelone, who they brought back. Victor Roche came in late, played, got cut, came back. Defensive ends new. Kyle Friend's brand new. Wallace Martin was brought in brand new. That happened last week. Vandelane we just touched on. Jennings we touched on last week. Chris Swain, fullback out of Navy, I believe it is. I don't think it's Army. Was interested in that name when they brought him in only because of the position. And have they looked at this year's offense and said, you know what? Maybe we do need a fullback in this offense. Maybe we do need a couple packages where we have that lead back. So that's a name to watch going into the offseason, and more so a position to watch. And Brandon Burks. All new names. And Bryson Keaton's been sitting there all year.
I feel bad. Every time he goes up to those, you know, to watch the game upstairs in the box, it's got a different crew up in there,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, it's got to be weird. Some of his boys have moved on, like your Julian Housaw is going to Seattle. Some have been called up, cut outright, like a Tywan Jones, which I just don't understand.
We say this every week.
Especially for the depth I just broke down going into 2017. I don't see how they don't got a spot for this kid. I'm hoping he's a futures contract. I'm hoping he's somebody brought back. I think he can outright make
the
team next
year.
Are
we going to see him on another team like we did Danny Lansana the one year?
Possibly. And Lansana's another one which nobody will ever explain to me. The guy's 5-6 interceptions last year and couldn't get work. I just don't get it. But listen, like I teased in there, we're building towards 17 and 16 right now. Let's get into the position that we just love to talk about on this show, the quarterback position. What are we looking at in 2017 with what we are seeing from Bryce Petty in 2016?
Josh McNown, is that what we're looking at?
I would take McNown.
Yeah, I think that's what we're looking at.
Is that Brian Hoyer, who people said, ugh, we'll
I'll
be
take
flirting
Hoyer
with
too.
Him? And, yeah, that's where I'm at too.
Because I don't think we expect much from next year. And I think that I don't think Bryce is the answer. I really don't think Bryce is the answer.
You said last week you feel you've learned that he is a backup quarterback.
Yes, I think he could be our backup for a long time coming. I still think Hack is our future, but I don't think Hack is the start of next year. You don't start Hack next year.
Are you
year.
Throwing Hack in at all this week, next week, at all? Some game film, getting his feet
at
wet?
At this point?
I only asked because we did talk pre-show.
No.
I know your stance.
At this point, I don't. At this point, I don't throw him out there at all. At this point, I think, you know, you haven't started him. You haven't dressed him, you know. Just keep him behind the, you know, keep him as the secret weapon, you know.
Oh, please, please. You can't
no.
go there with
yeah,
the secret
no,
weapon.
No. What I mean is that you don't plan to start him
prospect,
at the season.
Not the secret
you,
weapon.
You plan to start improving him and start to get him ready for the end of next season. That's what I think.
That was my next question for you.
You're prepping him for the end of next season.
Sitting on hack to the point of we have 2016 and 2017 all over again. Same record, same circumstances at the end of the year. Instead of the conversation being petty like it was this year, it's Hackenberg next year.
Yeah, I think, but you're not scared to, like, we were hesitant to get to sit Fitzpatrick. The problem this year was we weren't ready to move on with him when we should have moved on.
I get what you're saying.
And next year, I think you have to plan to know, like Bowles says, the whole plan was to put Petty in the last four games.
But will you be comfortable with Hackenberg that early?
I will, because we shouldn't have seen him until then. And I'm not ready to, I'm not, you know, if we have Hoyer, I'm not like, yes, Hoyer's our future.
Okay,
I'm
so
like,
next question, why are you carrying Bryce Petty on the 2017 roster then?
Because he's our solid two.
But what do you mean by solid two? Because if you're telling me by, let's say, midseason, you're ready to go to hack, what does him being our solid two mean? If a McCown or a Hoyer goes down in weeks 1 through 8, you bring Petty back in?
He's our Kellen Clemens. He's the guy that we know who's never going to start, but he can always be there to be the number two.
I don't know who you know would ever start. When we took Kellen Clemens, he was a future, if you ask this boy right here.
Exactly. I remember. Yeah. I remember.
I'll own it, bro. I was just dying for a quarterback like I still am.
But he turned into that, you know what I mean? He got looked over many times. So that's what Petty's, I think, future is with us. If we want to move on from him and he can go try it out in the NFL somewhere else, but I think that's where his future is with us. He's our solid two, and I think Hack is going to be, at the end of next year, ready to take over for that position at the number one.
Now, there's one stance I want to go with Petty here that it was a narrative I heard throughout the week. I want to say ESPN Radio. It might have been WFAN, but... old ball player said that it was pretty clear Bryce Petty was code redded, is how he put it. And basically the offensive line gave him the steam and Willie Beeman.
Basically not buying dinner.
I don't buy that. I don't buy that for the personality you've seen. And I don't buy that for when you hear Wesley Johnson baking him cookies. Bringing him in a tray of cookies as an I'm sorry. And I think it was pretty obvious the center kind of snapped it on what was a dummy hard count. Nobody moved. Petty didn't look ready for it. And the guy got, I really thought he was dead. The guy got murdered by Ndamukong Suh and Cameron Wake. Now, the point that was brought up to me that I kind of said, all right, maybe. All offensive linemen are trained nowadays. The minute somebody moves and comes even close to that neutral zone, you get up, you throw your hand on him, you point at him. Now you get the 5 yards. Number one. Why did none of those offensive tackles move? Number two, why did nobody help him up?
I don't get it either, though.
But those are the only two parts of that silly narrative, is how I first took it, that I said, I don't know why they would be doing that, but both of those points kind of make sense. Why did nobody help him up? Why didn't those offensive tackles throw an arm out there and try to get the 5 yards? Because they're looking in at the ball as well, but maybe they're not. They're looking at the pit. They see Sue move. Everybody nowadays, you get that 5 yards on offense, you take it. What's the explanation for that?
You told me that earlier before the show, pre-show, we talked about this. I don't get it either. He seems like he's got your back. He seems like there's no problems. There's no cockiness. There's no, I'm going to get this done, Fitzpatrick didn't. There's no, I'm the best quarterback on this team. There's none of that.
He's got too much respect for the old man to do that.
Big
fan of Fitzpatrick.
A lot of humble pie he's been eating, and he seems like a very humble guy.
His quote on the hit. If I could take a hit from those two, I'm gonna be all right in this league. I could put that on my resume.
Exactly.
Always says the right thing.
Yeah. So I don't know why they're not. Is that a hit for Fitzpatrick?
Doesn't make any sense. And then what I said, exactly where you just went with it. 60% of that offensive line is different. There's nobody out there going, man, I wish my guy was still back there throwing picks.
Were they paid off by Fitzpatrick?
Yeah, that happened. Yeah, that's how it happened. Listen, it was a silly thought at first that I completely blew off. Once the points were made for the argument, it was just something I felt that was worth bringing up.
Can we just say that this team, we're in turmoil.
You'd think so.
We, you know, looks every, like every little thing
from
seems
what they say
like a bigger
not,
thing
it looks like it.
Than
yeah.
it could be.
Yep.
So, You know, everything's bad right now. The whole team is, we're one of the worst teams in the league. And we're the, one of the worst teams in the fact that we thought we were going to be so much better and everybody else thought we were going to be so much better.
Probably the biggest disappointment in the league.
Exactly. Because no one in the 49ers or Jacksonville or the Browns were thinking that they were going to go 10-6 this year, okay? So, you know, we're the most disappointing team in the league. Like
agree with you wholeheartedly. I really do. Wesley Johnson, as I just said, baked the cookies, and I'm sorry. Is he your stopgap at the center position if we need to move on from a Nick Mangold? Or is he your starter? And you're moving on thinking you have a center.
Stop
for a handful
gap, meaning
of
years. 2017, yes. Or starter for 17 and then move on from him after that?
That's exactly what I mean by stopgap when I say that right now. And when I say starter, I mean a guy you're looking at for the next 5 to 7 that's anchoring your line.
To me, that's all banked on, I think that is what he is right now. I think that's also banked on what free agency looks like on guards and centers, as well as what does our draft look like? Is there a possible steal we have in the later rounds that turns into a starter? Is there a possible center that we draft that can take over Wesley Johnson's position? But I think as of right now, going into the offseason, yeah, he's our stopgap.
I think he's your 2017 starting center. I'm bringing in competition, preferably this year, to be the starter
as a rookie or as a free agent.
Free agent, I wouldn't mind that just because you need as much depth on a bad offensive line as you can get.
And we need to learn what
reality,
we did last this
in
year.
Reality, draft pick. I'm bringing in who I think is my future this year, preferably.
Fourth
if
round
I got
pick.
To bring it in next year, I don't know if I'm using the comp pick I hope we're getting for Damon Harrison because we already spent our fourth round pick on Brandon Schell. So it's a little bit of a, it's going to be a give and take for when you, in my opinion, you got to come away in the draft with at least 2 offensive linemen. If you were to ignore it in free agency, you already used one of your picks on an offensive lineman. So now you're talking about 3 out of your 7. Keep that in mind. So it's all about how and where you invest using your assets that are your draft capital. How do you invest that and when do you invest at draft time? If you already got the 4 at tackle, it kind of shouldn't sway your thinking, but it has to for, I need a pass rusher, I need a corner, I probably need a running back, I need a left tackle, I need a center. You see what I'm getting at here? I need an inside linebacker, I'm going to need an outside linebacker, I'm probably going to need a free safety. I can keep going.
No, I know.
I can keep going.
It's scary.
So how many picks can you invest on the offensive line? We're going to have to really weigh that balance of free agency and draft, and we're going to have to bring in the right type of free agents. A free agent, play notwithstanding, like a Buster Screen. Somebody who's going on their second deal that if you hit, you're hitting and you have for under your control for the years of that contract and preferably in their prime. So,
you know, we're going to transition into the cornerback position.
No, not. Well, yeah, we will, but I wanted to touch on Schell again before,
oh, go ahead.
Before we
go
moved
ahead.
On.
I'd love to talk about Schell.
I felt Schell, and I don't know why Todd Bowles has to tell me that they didn't expect Brandon Schell to play that well. I don't know why I have to hear that, but I think Brandon Schell played much better, obviously, than they thought he would, and then most of us thought he would on Saturday night.
Like I thought earlier in training camp, I thought he was going to possibly come out and be the starter. Obviously, it took 15 weeks. He comes out, then he plays excellent. I thought he played excellent.
Came out as a junior. He should have still been in South Carolina.
What I tell you when we went to training camp, he has the perfect body for it.
Did you call it a Greek god? You called it something along those lines that was just ridiculous.
He seems like he is
a right tackle.
He's got a perfect body for the tackle position, and he played excellent. There's nothing else I can say. You know, he played
zero
solid.
Pressures. A lot of people. At least you've heard now. He was supposed to block down when they stunted around and got in. He had the right block, but you see a couple clips out there of him and Winners just mauling the left side of the D line in pass pro. 2 pancakes in pass pro. It was an impressive little clip I saw. And again, when you get out of the game and you jump on your phone, and you start looking at things that are put up. Zero pressures. The guy overperformed on Saturday.
He's got those feet that don't stop moving. He seems like a hustler, and he hustles in the game. I like that.
Now, another hustler, and where I think you were going when you said we're about to talk about the corners, another rookie, Justin Burris.
I'm loving what I'm seeing from this kid.
All
man.
Right, easy.
I'm loving it.
Were you loving it when Kenny Stills was behind
obviously
him by
4 yards?
Obviously,
there's going to be hiccups. There's
going
to be hiccups. But you have to love his fight. His lankiness, his speed. I think we like what we see from him. We see flashes of a good player.
He fits the bill on what was sold to us when we drafted him.
Exactly.
A press man corner, give you everything he's got, long arms, long body, willing to tackle. To me, I'm not in love with the speed. And that's why a guy with a resume that reads that way goes in the fourth round.
It seems like he has good catch-up speed.
I don't see it, and that's what I don't see. That's what I don't see. But again, to each their own. To me, I look at him, the wide receiver a la Robbie Anderson, who gets behind everybody in this league, the wide receiver generally has steps on him. And I don't see that makeup that is, oh, man, he closed that window while the ball was coming. His interception, if that ball's thrown in front of him, he's cooked for another long
touchdown.
And,
you know, that can be the physicalness at the line. Maybe he needs to be more physical at the line.
A little bit better technique.
And he's got those long arms that he can do it with. So we know that he's got the abilities to do that. He's got his body type for a cornerback and what he possibly can do. He's got it all. He's got the frame. He's got
– Perfect.
He's got, yeah, he's perfect. Gun? He's got it all. And I hope the same for Marcus Williams. I hope next year we see Marcus Williams take another step.
I don't know if Marcus Williams is going to be back on this team next year.
Are you scared about that? Restricted? That's our boy.
Listen,
that's
very
your
underwhelming
boy, really.
This year. I'll own it. Very underwhelming this year. I thought he was ready for that next step. I really thought he could be
injury?
A number two corner.
Injury?
Yes. You look at him, restricted free agent, though. If you try to save a couple bucks in a year where you're going to have to, even with the big money moves we talked about at the beginning of the show, where you're trying to skim a couple bucks, I don't know if they put the type of tender on Marcus Williams where somebody doesn't come and give him a little BS deal and see if we match.
Is money saved if Buster Screen is gone? Is Buster Screen a possible gutter?
No, really. Those 10 you're looking at and that we listed and ran through, we're going to talk about their money for 3 months. That's why I didn't get into the exact figures here.
So we're going to deal with Buster.
Those
for,
are the
10 another,
you're looking at. Absolutely. Buster Screen will be here. Absolutely. These are the 10 guys you're looking at that any type of substantial, any type of worthwhile savings, cap-wise for 2017, that's them. The number just happens to be nice and clean and be 10. But that's them.
I really hope Marcus Williams is back on this team. I would love to see his progression.
Me too. And again,
league.
Restricted.
Yeah.
So you always kind of look at your restricted free agents like, yeah, they'll be back. But it's just the type of situation where maybe a team out there goes, the Jets are using that kid all wrong. And they'll come in and throw their name in the hat and put a contract out there. And when we're counting pennies and nickels and dimes right now, you hope you don't miss out on a young guy. That's all. A young guy that you want to talk about fitting a bill. And when you take him 37th overall, you hope he fits a bill. Can Devin Smith get on the field for this offense?
Please. Please. I know the first play of the game, right? Makes the tackle?
No, not the first play. That was a punt.
Punt return,
sorry. It might have been the first punt of the game.
Yeah.
But beautiful.
I remember
beautiful.
Early in the game.
And that was his MO coming out of Ohio State. He was, as McShay brought up time and time, he was the best gunner in the draft. And that's, unfortunately, how he popped the ACL for us. He was covering a kick. But, I mean, the guy's comfortable doing it.
Can we see
I
him run
see
a route?
I want to see him making plays at wide receiver.
Can he run a route, please?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
Exactly.
Who is this guy?
We don't know that right now.
You know, some
and
young Jet fans are like, some young Jet fans are like, who's 19?
No, some young Jet fans are like, oh, you can get production out of your second round pick? Because it's been a while. It has been a while. But I just look at it and I talked about it last week with Freddie Bishop and with Arthur Brown, and I talked about it the week before with Anthony Johnson. We pick guys up, and we can get them in the game plan. We can some type of niche for them where we get something out of them immediately. You look at a Devin Smith, he's been back for a while now. If he's healthy enough to be running down kicks and making an athletic play like that for you, give me a package where I can get his speed and Robbie Anderson's speed on the field together, please. That's all I'm asking. The guy needs reps. He missed his whole rookie camp. Then he missed half of his rookie season, if not more. He's now missed three quarters of his second season. And he's been suited up for you for a couple of weeks. And he's rotting on the sidelines. We are 4-10. Put him in there.
Can we
get the reps?
Please. Can we see a player that possibly is, you know, can we put a question mark on the player?
How about Brandon Wiles? Brandon Wiles, why is Forte out there? We talked about it teasing.
He shouldn't
the game
be
last
dressed.
Week.
He shouldn't be dressed
should
anymore.
Be on IR.
Please.
Guy
he
came out and hurt his shoulder.
Dressed.
Guy's playing on a torn meniscus, suits up for at the time a 4-9 team, and in the 7 plays that they put him out there for, waste of a uniform on a stupid decision as it was, found a way to get the shoulder nicked too. So now you got a 30-something-year-old running back who you're on the hook for money-wise for 2017, and you're somewhat counting to be here and be productive in 2017, getting nicked up in a Week 15 game on a 4-9 team with an already torn knee.
Unbelievable.
Does any of that sound smart?
It doesn't, and we're not fighting for anything. What are we fighting for?
They're fighting for pride, but I get what you're saying.
We're fighting for freaking young players to see what they got. That's what we should be showing. We should be showing all the young players out there.
Now, you said you answer Pete the question
get some
mark.
More play.
Yes, but I can't go there because I'm begging for Devin Smith, and I need receiver reps
as it is. You know, Brandon's. You're never going to take Brandon out of the game. You know, especially,
why not?
Especially because you don't know if he's going to be here next year. So
why not take him out of the game?
You want to just keep showing his heart, his leadership.
Oh yeah, because you know what? That's really helping us out right now. The dropped first downs and the real lack of effort on a contested ball is really helping us and really leading the way for this young receiving core right now. I got to tell you, that's why I'm not going to take him off the field. I got no problem they take Brandon Marshall off the field right now.
Hey, don't gotta
zero
get so,
issue.
Don't gotta get so angry.
No,
at my man,
because it's where I'm at. This is where I'm at for the team. Where I'm at this year, but I mean, come on at this point. How many times this guy, we said it jokingly, then we asked seriously, how many times is this guy going to give up a first down? Have to fight back to get the yard and a half that he gave up as part of the four while he was running his dig and came backwards.
The guy
dropped that first down on Saturday night because he was getting into his jump backwards move.
Does he have the most drops in the league this year?
Yes. Yes, and I believe he has the most drops over the last 2 years since he's came here.
It's
great year last year. It was phenomenal. Best year we've ever seen out of receiver in green, hands down. But over the past two seasons since becoming a New York Jet, nobody has dropped more balls than Brandon Marshall.
Yeah, it's
superstar, leader, Brandon Marshall. Nobody has dropped more balls.
It's unbelievable.
I'm done now.
I know, thank
that
you.
That felt somewhat good.
I know, I felt a
anywhere else you
want to
go with Miami?
No.
Anything else you saw? Anything you want to talk about?
No.
Let's get into New England then.
No.
How much are we going to lose by is the real question. That's all I need to ask.
We think of this differently, though. I think, you know, we show up like we do, like we're supposed to be the 10-6 Jets. I think we show up like that.
Put these rose petals down.
Yeah. I see us fighting. And us, again, another close game in New England this time. A little colder, maybe a little snowier. Christmas Eve. I think we're fighting. I don't think they're going to be thinking of turkey dinner for Christmas. You know what I mean? I think we're fighting. You think it's going to be a blowout, but...
I'm trying to not laugh in front of the mic right now.
I know. I still think we fight. I think, you know...
I think Belichick put together a game plan.
24-21. We lose at the end.
Listen, that
it's
would
be a
dream
great
come
1 o'clock
true.
Game.
That'd be a dream come true.
I want to lose.
Not
I
a
wanna
shot.
Lose.
Not
But I want to see some heart.
Shot. Of what you just said happening, in my opinion.
You think it's 52-3?
I think Belichick put together a game plan for MetLife that he just looked at like, we ain't going to lose this game. I'm going to test my team.
No
I'm
going
to do things to test my... Yeah, I think Belichick
no
just toys
way.
With everybody. I think this week in New England, Brady looking to truly, if he hasn't already, lock up the MVP. I think it's going to be downright
scary. You think
scary.
He's the MVP?
Downright scary.
It sucks,
he's
man.
Terrific, Tom. He's like, come no. on. Of course he's the MVP.
No.
Bro, it's going to be a massacre. But I'm just happy, unlike 2 years ago, I believe it was, 3 years, they can't, nobody can ruin Christmas Eve this year because I don't care.
Yeah.
Going to watch it. I'm invested, but you're not ruining a season. Like it was years ago. So it is what it is, the fact they were playing in New England on Christmas Eve. But you truly, in your heart of hearts, think this is going to be a game. Please give me one or two reasons why.
Why do I think it's going to be
a game?
Yeah,
I can give you 10 why I think we're going to get smacked.
I think that teams in general, when they play Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, they bring it out. They bring it all. I think they bring it all. I think that it's the one team that you never want to lose to. It's the one team you don't want to be embarrassed in front of. I think that's the main reason why.
It's funny, you don't want to be embarrassed, but I've watched them embarrass a lot of teams over this last decade.
Oh, definitely. I'm not saying they don't have the ability to embarrass teams.
You can go in with any mindset you want.
Oh, exactly.
You're going to get punched
in
the face.
But, you know, it seems that we play them hard. Even in our worst seasons, we play them hard. So I still think it's going to be a tight game. We have enough heart. We have enough talent.
Where
we have enough talent.
Talent, I'm with you.
Okay. So
as you said, though, we're one of the more disappointing teams. Go ahead. Let that one stick to the wall.
We have enough talent on this team. There's nothing I could say. There's enough talent on this team to bring a 24-21 lose at the end, 0 seconds on the clock, kick by Steven Gruskowski.
And what have you seen over 15 weeks that tells you that that talent is going to show up Saturday at 1 o'clock?
Well, I saw it on November 27th, a couple days after Thanksgiving, at MetLife against New England.
And that's the good game you're going to get against New England that we give them every year, like
and
you
I,
said.
No, no, I say we always play them well. So I think I'm going to see it again, though. I think it's going to be the last of possible. It's going to be the last of possible.
It's the game
David Harris and Darrell Revis we might ever see again.
It's so the game I think people look at it. And say, see, Todd Bowles still has control of this team. Is what you're telling me?
Yes.
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 Yeah.
And that he shouldn't be fired.
And see, he can get these boys up for a game.
And he shouldn't be fired. Yep.
You know who we are right now? We're the bad team in the analogy of don't let bad teams hang around. We are that bad team now. Miami didn't let us hang around in our own building. Bro, I'm telling you, after Robbie Anderson caught that ball and came, you ain't touching him, I'm screaming. He went in for seven. We're kicking off. The 1,400 people that were in the stadium rocking. After all that happened, we were in a ball game. Halftime, we were still in a ball game. They stepped on us in the third quarter.
Can I hear your prediction? Can I hear your prediction, please? I would like to hear that one.
37-13.
That's just as close as last
37-13.
Week.
37-13. So and I'm being generous with the 13.
Okay.
37-13.
So you're thinking that we might not even score?
Touchdown, I could definitely see us not getting in the paint. I could see us settling for a couple threes, having a couple plays that give us
so
a drive that puts us in scoring
points.
Position. I really think it's going to be a massacre. Truly do. They're going to give their fans their Christmas present at 1 o'clock on Christmas Eve against the New York Jets. Telling you. This
and
is exactly
as much
I'm not
as we
trying
say
to be
we
cynical,
don't care,
is what I
it's going to suck to watch that.
Absolutely. But I'm going to be watching it. I just won't be emotionally invested where I'm going to let it ruin this Christmas. That's it. I don't even like Christmas. I ain't letting the Jets bring me that.
The Grinch.
I'm not doing it. Not doing it. That my blood pressure this year, as it is with this team, not doing it. That'll do it here for us on the NYJ Couch Scouts this week. Thank you for tuning in again, listening. As always, you can find us where you find your podcasts, Apple iTunes, Podomatic, Stitcher, anywhere else.
Hey, Jet fans, give us a follow on Twitter at NYJ Couch Scouts. Leave us your questions and your comments and look out for future prizes and giveaways.
Want to give a big shout out to our producer, Gio Garcia, as well as our co-founder, David Schwendeman, and one more out there to you guys. We look forward to doing this weekly. Thank you for downloading.
Happy holidays, Jet fans.
Happy holidays, and who cares if we get one, because it ain't happening.
Couch Scouts Podcast, audio of the free.